I would like for you to get your Bibles and turn to two portions of Scripture. First, I would like you to turn, to Exodus chapter 12, the book of Exodus chapter 12, and then I'd like for you to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Exodus chapter 12, and then the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 3 of Exodus chapter 12, I want us to read, it says this. This is God speaking to Moses, and he says, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a household. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it in according to the number of persons, according to each man shall eat, divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two posts and on the upper door post of the house in which they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh on the night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted with fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, but that of it which remains until the morning you shall burn with fire. In this way you will eat it, with your waist girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So shall you eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be to you for a sign on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Skip over to verse 21. "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Draw out and take for yourselves a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and apply it to the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out from the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to kill the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not permit the destroyer to come to your houses to kill you.'" Ephesians chapter 4, I want us to read one verse there, verse 27, and it says this: "Do not give place to the devil." Do not give place to the devil. And I want to speak with you for a few moments this morning on the subject of put the blood on your doorposts. Put the blood on the doorpost. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you that you would help me to speak your word in a way that is living and active. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would animate me and help me to speak your word with unction and with the anointing. I pray that your word would give life, and I pray that most of all, that Lord, you would speak to our hearts. Hide the preacher behind the cross, and I pray it would be your word that is heard. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. The book of Exodus is the story of the deliverance of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. The Israelites would have been in captivity at this time for some 430 years. And as would be obvious, that's quite a long time. Generations and generations had passed. And when it originally started out with Joseph and his family, as well as his father Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and their families, those families would eventually grow into a crowd of over a million souls. There was a Pharaoh that forgot who Joseph was, and by that time, They were making Egypt to be one of the most powerful empires in the world, and they needed slave labor to build these cities and so on and so forth. And by that time, they said, well, the Israelites are in such large number, let's make them our slaves. And before you knew it, they were under the whips and this dominance of the Egyptians for years. The Israelites, experiencing this bondage, would cry out to the living God, and God would raise up Moses to be their deliverer. God would raise up Moses to do what was impossible, to be honest with you. For the Egyptians were strong. They were a strong and a mighty force to be reckoned with, but little did they know that the Israelites believed in Almighty God, and God would bring deliverance. God would call Moses, and by that time, Moses would be around 80 years old at the time. For 40 years, he was in Egypt. For 40 years, he was in the backside of the desert, and it was at his weakest that God called him. Don't ever think that God is going to call you when you're in your strength. God can use you at your weakest, because it's at your weakest that he shows himself strong. Moses, after talking to God and going back and forth with his own inabilities, God would send him forth in his power and with his word. And Moses would end up there in Egypt and tell them, "Let my people go." After 9 different plagues had passed and had shown the Egyptians that God was with Israel, the 10th plague would be the worst of all those plagues. And it was at this particular time that God was speaking to Moses about what he was about to do there in Egypt, and he told them to kill a lamb. This lamb was symbolic, to be honest with you, of the coming Christ, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. He told them to take a lamb and to kill it, to sacrifice this lamb and pour the blood into a basin. And he told them that that particular night that they were to eat a Passover meal, this was the first time it was instituted, they were to take the blood of that lamb, pour it into a basin, they were to get a handful of hyssop. A hyssop is a kind of herb, a kind of flower. It's actually a very powerful herb, if you know anything about herbs. It's a healing herb in the Bible. But they were to get a bushel of hyssop, put it into that basin, and in a sense, it would become like a paintbrush. And he told them to get of that blood and to paint it in a way on the side post and on the lintel or the top doorpost of each door of those that had partaken of this Passover meal. And the Lord begins to illustrate a very powerful truth, that the blood of the lamb put on the doorposts would protect them from a destroyer that would come to destroy the firstborn of every house there in Egypt. Every firstborn male in the house would die that night. Every house that did not have the door on the doorpost would experience what the destroyer had to give, which was death. It was so powerful a death that it didn't only affect humanity, but it also affected the beasts and animals as well. But the Lord told Moses to tell the children of Israel to get a lamb, and each of them for their own house. And they were to butcher, in a sense, this lamb and get the blood and put it on the doorpost, and then they were to eat the lamb inside of their houses, and they were supposed to eat it in haste. They were to do it dressed up with their sandals on, staff in hand, as if they're about to rush out, because God was bringing their deliverance, and it would happen immediately that night. And so that night they would put the blood on the doorposts. They would be there in their homes eating the lamb. And as they were doing this, all of a sudden, this angel, a death angel, a destroying angel, was sent out from Almighty God and would pass through the ranks of Egypt, and all the firstborn would die. But the scripture says something so powerful that it says there in verse 23, it says, "I will pass through and smite the Egyptians, and when He sees the blood on the lintel, and on the two side posts the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. He's saying if the blood is on the door, he would not allow the destroyer to come into those doors. The blood is a very powerful thing as is presented here. The blood on the door of their houses would protect them from the destroyer. He would not allow the destroyer to come into their homes. In the earlier portion it says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And all of this is a symbolic statement of what you have received when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The blood has made you clean and you don't have to fear the destroyer anymore. However, it is your and my responsibility to put the blood on the doorposts of our homes. We must put the blood upon the doorposts of our homes. And I'm not talking about literally go and get a sacrificial lamb and go and wipe blood on the doorposts of our homes. I'm not talking about a literal thing here. But it is vital for you and me to understand the significance of the cross, the significance of what Jesus did for you, and the reality of the power of the cross and how it can affect not only you as individuals, but your whole house. We must bring our children into a knowledge and an understanding of the Savior. They must come into an understanding of who Jesus is. To be honest with you, that's why those families were eating the lamb. When you eat that food, whatever it is, you become thoroughly acquainted with it, don't you? And as they're eating this lamb, they're savoring the taste and the bitter herbs. They're eating the lamb. I wonder what those that didn't like lamb meat thought that night. But they partook of the lamb. Amen? They're eating mutton, right? I guess a mutton is an older one, so this was a young ewe lamb. It was not old. They were eating the lamb. They were becoming thoroughly acquainted with it. They were chewing on it. They were understanding the lamb. And it's our responsibility to put that blood on the doorposts of our homes. You and I must be thoroughly acquainted with who Jesus is and what He did for us on the cross. How He has saved us and what He wants to do in our homes. How He wants to protect our children. How He wants to protect us in our going out and our coming in. He wants to protect you and me from the destroyer. But those that did not have the blood on the doorposts died. And it's no surprise that when you have people that do not serve the living God, how death is all over them. We wonder why drugs and alcohol, and why so many people are bound by so many vices in the world today. And it's because they don't have the blood. Yeah. It's because they don't know who the Lamb is. But it's our responsibility to give that understanding to our own homes, our own family, our children, our church, our neighbors. Amen? Because if they don't get the blood on the doorpost, there will be death. Not only here in this life, but without the blood, there will be eternal death as well. An eternity without God. And let me tell you, hell is a very real place. It's not just something made up in the years gone by to try to scare people into living right. We're talking about the reality of what the Scripture has presented and the allotment of those that will reject the Savior. There are things that are trying to push open the door of our homes. This world and Satan is not sitting idly by watching you live for the Lord. He's going to try to do all that he can to push that door open. And that scripture that we read in Ephesians where it says, don't give place to the devil, is really describing, don't give the enemy any room in your homes. Don't give him room in your life. That enemy is going to try to come in and he's going to try to take advantage of any open door that we give him. And sadly, it's interesting how in Ephesians, is Paul is describing, don't give place to the devil. That what he's talking about prior to it and after it is something that deals with anger and what we do with our wrath. Verse 25 of Ephesians 4 says, therefore, putting away lying, let every man speak truthfully with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give place to the devil. Let him who stills, still no more. Instead, let him labor, working with his hands, things that are good, that he may have something to share with him who is in need. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up, and so on and so forth. The enemy is trying and striving, and he wants to find a foothold in your and my life. But it's our responsibility to keep the blood on the doorposts. It's important for us to understand that we are saved by grace through faith. We must understand that we serve God because He is good and He's faithful. And we must bring our family into an understanding, our children, our loved ones into this understanding of the blood. Amen? Because the enemy wants to destroy. He wants to destroy our loved ones. The scripture says clearly that the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. When we will seek the Lord and by faith place that blood on the door of our hearts. For you see, your heart is a door. The scripture says in the book of Revelation, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens that door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. Amen? On your heart, there is a door. That's why Solomon, the wisest that ever lived, said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. We must apply the blood on the door of our hearts and not allow the enemy a foothold in our lives. We must not play with sin. We must not try and think that we can get away with opening the door, even a little crack. Because the enemy sees that little crack and he will enter in with all of his fury to destroy. That's why it's so important for our young people not to play with sin. Hear me. Don't fall into the peer pressure. Don't think if I just try it once, it's not going to hurt me, because it only takes a little bit to get started. Don't open that door. Let the blood be upon the door. The destroyer wants to enter in and destroy your life. It takes more guts to say no. It's more manly to say no than to give in to the peer pressure around you. Or womanly, I should say, too. Right? But no, it's interesting how the world is, right? Ah, you're just a wimp. Ah, you're just too scared to try it. And they're the ones that are bound by it, and you aren't. They're the weak ones. They're the ones that have given in. Don't be weak. Let God be your strength. We must put the blood on the door of our hearts and understand what Christ has done for us to give us the ability to live an overcoming life. He has done everything necessary for you to be able to live for God in this fallen world. He has done all that's necessary to give you the strength to endure, the ability to say no. But we must understand the significance of the blood, and we must eat the lamb. I was in the nursing home trying to explain that to the nursing home people, not these verses. But in John chapter 6, Jesus told them a hard saying. They had recently just been fed, 5,000 fed with 5 loaves and 3 fishes or whatever it was. And they ate to full. They were able to get as much as they wanted. And the next day they went to find Jesus. And Jesus says, you're not coming to look for me. But you're only coming because your bellies are full. And then Jesus began to bring it down to the nitty-gritty of how we're supposed to follow God. And he began to tell them, look, I am the bread from heaven. He began to tell them, my flesh is meat and my blood is drink. And they began to hear him, and I'm sure they were wondering, what are you saying, Jesus? And the Bible says that many disciples turned from Jesus that day and walked away. And Jesus turned to his own 12 and said, are you guys going to leave too? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? For you're the one that has the words of eternal life. We must be thoroughly acquainted with the Lamb. The more that you begin to understand the significance of the cross and what he's done for you and who Jesus is in and through your life, that will give you the ability to stand true and strong when the enemy is trying to push open that door to destroy you. But sadly, we're living in a generation where so many people in our churches, they don't even understand what being a Christian really is. They've received Jesus, they're attending church, but the Bible is still a foreign book. But we must be thoroughly acquainted with the Lamb. We must eat the Passover as well as put the blood on the door. But when the blood is on the door, the scripture says that the destroyer will not be able to touch you. Amen. We must put the blood on the doorposts of our homes by faith, of our hearts individually by faith, and we must apply the truth of what that blood represents in our entire life. Jesus died for us on the cross to give us eternal life. But eternal life isn't just the future life that we will spend with him in eternity. Eternal life is knowing him now. Knowing him in experience, day in and day out. It's a knowledge of Christ that isn't only on a Sunday morning. It's a daily experience of knowing him and loving him and applying the truth of what he has made us to be daily in our lives. As we will turn to him for all of our answers, he will answer us. Thank God for people. God uses people. God uses books. God uses sermons. God uses radio stations. Thank God for all those things. But if all of that is a replacement for your own communion with God, get rid of the rest and get alone with God. Amen. Amen. There's things that we can do as Christians that we veer way off the way. Listen. We can fast and pray and fast and pray until we're skin and bones. But if all of that isn't leading us to Christ, we've missed the whole point. We can try to memorize the scriptures word for word, verbatim. But if all of that isn't leading us to Christ and an understanding of why the blood on the doorpost, then we're missing it. He's made you and me able to come boldly to the throne of grace. For you and me to walk into the presence of Almighty God and develop a living relationship with a living God. He will protect you. He will watch over you. He will watch over your family. He will move in the midst, but you must lay hold on him. Amen. And as you do, I can guarantee you by the word of God that he will meet you right where you are. God's hand isn't too short that it can't save. God is not a man that he should lie. What he said, he will do. But we have a responsibility ourselves to keep the blood on the door. Amen. And eat the lamb. He doesn't force feed us. He didn't say the blood will just jump out of the basin and land on the doors. We still got to put it there. And so we have responsibility to seek the Lord. Seek him while he may be found, and he will answer you. But we must put the blood on our doorposts. our own heart individually, our homes by faith, even our community by faith.